I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter 19. Luke's Gospel chapter 19, commencing to read at verse number 1 to verse number 10. Let us follow the Word of God together, please. Luke's Gospel and the 19th chapter, commencing to read at the verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they that saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm sure for every one of us there are stories that stick in our minds from our childhood days, from the Sabbath school days, or from perhaps some children's meeting or church service. One of such is this story of Zacchaeus. I remember a little chorus used to sing, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. And so we find that those stories in particular can stick in our mind, and I trust indeed that you will recognize immediately the story, and if not, just let the Spirit of God just write in our heart again. We find that the very substance of what the story is about is an actual fact at the end of it, because verse number 10 sums up what has gone before. And verse number 10 says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the previous 9 verses illustrate that very thing, the means by which the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ met all kinds of people. And not only did he meet all kinds of people, but he met them in all kinds of places. He met the up and out, he met the down and out. He met the rich and he met the poor, he met the educated, he met the illiterate. He met them in so many different varying places. For example, he met some along the seashore. Do you remember he called Peter, James and John along the seashore, and Andrew as well. He met some of them at the dinner table. Do you remember the woman as the Lord Jesus reclined upon the seat and was seated there and was taking his food? When the woman came off the street and she was broken in heart over her sin and she knelt down at the feet of Jesus. And she washed his feet with her tears. Yes, he met them at the dinner table. He met others in the street. Do you remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? He met others among the tombs. You remember the demon of Gadara? He was running amongst the tombs, cutting himself and trying to commit suicide, even among the dead. And here, even up a tree. So the Lord Jesus meets all kinds of people. He meets them in all kinds of places. Now we find here that chapter 19, actually, remember what I've often said? There were no chapters whenever the scriptures were originally written. The division of the chapters are given for your help and edification. And so therefore they will bring to an end a particular passage and then you move on to something else. But in actual fact, if you want to see what's happening here, naturally chapter 19 follows chapter 18. You say, that didn't take a great brain to understand that. That's true. But friend, you need to read into chapter 18 to understand chapter 19. And what you find is the Lord Jesus Christ is on a journey. The Lord Jesus Christ is making His way to Jerusalem. He is passing through Jericho on His way to the cross. It's His last journey. And He comes and He enters into Jericho. Now it's interesting to notice there are two amazing contrasts as He enters Jericho and as He goes out of Jericho. Because there are two different kinds of men. On the one hand, entering in, He meets a blind man. On the other way, He meets a man that can see. Entering in, He meets a beggar. When He's going out, He meets a rich man. Entering in, He meets a man that's seated by the wayside. On His way out, He meets a man that's perched up a tree. Entering into Jericho, He meets a man that is seeking for mercy. As He's going out, He meets a man that's seeking for a man because he seeks to see Jesus, who He was. When the Lord Jesus was entering into Jericho, there was a man crying out. When He was going out of the city, the man was sitting up the tree silent, never spoke a word. When He was going in, one man had to get up to go to Jesus. When He was going out, the other man had to come down to go to Jesus. Do you notice the two absolute contrasts in the two stories of two men? Both of them met Jesus and both of them were changed by Christ. Just let you know that Jesus does His own way. He works in mysterious ways and wonderful ways. One man, the blind man, didn't know that Jesus was passing that way. In actual fact, it was when he heard the crowd, he asked them what was going on. That's when he found out. But Zacchaeus, he knew all about Jesus coming that way. In actual fact, that's why he was there. He had been told that Jesus was to pass that way, and he knew it. One man was in the depths of society. The other man was in the heights. And friend, we see all of those differences, contrasts, of two men that Jesus met. But I want us to think of Zacchaeus. And I want you to come with me as the Lord Jesus Christ enters into the city. He has healed the blind man. And now he's heading through Jericho. Now listen. I don't read of any man who actually got saved inside Jericho. One going in, one going out, but not inside. Because God had said in the Old Testament, cursed is he that buildeth again the walls of Jericho. That built that city. And so we find that there's no man that actually comes to the Lord inside it when Jesus was inside, but he met someone on the outside of him, and he met when he was passing through another. And I want us to see that man as Jesus passes through and is heading on to the cross. Some simple things that I want us to note tonight. Listen, first of all, notice the circumstances. Well, his name's Zacchaeus. What does that mean? Zacchaeus means pure. It means innocent. And you know, in Bible times, People often call their children by names, not by looking up a book to see how ridiculous a name they could get. Or I think sometimes parents never realize that children actually have the names to stick with them for the rest of their days. And so they see something maybe that's funny or strange, and so therefore they call their child, and then the child cringes for the rest of their lives that they were ever called that, but that's no business of mine. But Zacchaeus' mother called her child Zacchaeus. Means pure. Means innocent. Now I don't know, friends, why she called him that, but listen, I'm sure that she had hopes for her child. I believe that here was a mother that had tremendous hopes. She had tremendous aspirations for her son. And she called him pure. She called him innocent. What I do know is this. That nothing could be further from the truth. Because he must have been a disappointment to his mother. Because let me tell you, my friend, he certainly did not live out or turn out the way that she expected him to turn out. But then before we get too carried away with that thought, friend, just remember this. Not one of us have anything to boast in. For the Word of God reminds us that we are all shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. We have the nature of sin. And so had Zacchaeus. He was called pure. But if you go down to verse 7, it says that Jesus was going to be guest for the man that's a sinner. Nothing pure about him. He's a sinner. And neither are you, friend. You weren't born pure. You were born with your back to God and your face to the world. You were born with a heart that's sinful. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. That's what the Holy Ghost says. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, he was called pure. The second thing about his circumstances, he was a publican. Now that didn't mean that he was a seller of booze or alcohol. A publican, my friend, in Bible times is a man that in actual fact was a collector of taxes. In many ways, you know, there would be some of the publicans were looked upon as a modern day mafia. And I'll explain exactly why. You say that's an awful thing to call the collector of taxes. There's an awful lot of people who call a lot of them and other things as well, but nevertheless, he's only doing his job. But you see, in Bible times, friend, they were the tax collectors that were assigned by the Roman government to collect taxes in Palestine. You see, what Rome did was this. Rome divided Palestine up into three areas, three districts. And she had three major offices. In three major cities, she had an office in Capernaum, she had an office in Caesarea, and she had an office in Jericho. This is the Jericho office. And in those offices, there were chief publicans that were assigned to each of those districts. And it was their job to collect the taxes. Now, what Rome did was this. Rome told them how much money she expected them to collect. But that's not where it stopped. Because when Rome told them exactly what they were to collect, then Rome closed her eyes. She didn't care what happened after that. In other words, if Rome expected the publicans to collect 1 million, and they collected 2 million, Rome didn't care. As long as she got her million, they could pocket the rest. And friend, that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. And so the publican was despised. He was looked down upon. Nobody would have invited them to the weddings. Probably nobody wanted them at the funeral either. Because they were considered as crooks. Hoods. But something else for him. They were looked upon as traitors. And the reason why they were looked upon as traitors was this. They were looked upon as having sold their own nation out. And sold it out to the domination of the Roman Empire. And by the taxes that Rome collected of the Jewish people, the strength of Rome was strengthened and the power of Rome was upheld. And the Jewish people groaned under the burden of the taxes of the publicans. Do you notice the Holy Ghost says here in verse 2, it says, Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. It wasn't from his salary. It was from his activity. He put the taxes among the people. And he had all the pleasures and all the comforts that money can bring to a man and buy for a man. He didn't care that the widows groaned underneath the burden. He didn't care that the widows were hungry while he gorged himself at the table. He didn't care as he laid his head upon the silk and satin pillows that the kids were lying in the streets, out in the cold. No, he didn't care. And to be truthful, nobody liked him. Nobody loved the tax man. But he didn't care. He was rich. He was rich. That's all he cared for. He would have been looked upon as a reject. And yet, you know, when I was thinking about this, isn't it amazing the number of publicans that the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to save? Isn't it amazing? Do you ever notice in the New Testament how many times that Christ reached out to them? Do you remember Matthew? He was a publican. And the Lord saved him and changed him and put him into and made him a disciple. Do you remember Luke chapter 18? Jesus tells a story about the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was looked upon as a great person in society. The publican was looked upon as a nothing. Despised. And yet the strange thing is this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the Pharisee, he came into the temple and he strutted around and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. You know, I'm much better than that. Even the publican. Lord, I thank you, I'm not like him. Notice he picked him out. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus said that the publican, he didn't even look toward heaven. The Lord Jesus said he smote his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In actual fact, the original word is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Bible says that man went down just as if he never had sinned. The Lord changed him. Gloriously, wonderfully changed him. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, listen, the harlots and the publicans, that they would enter into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees and the hypocrites. That would have been hard to have taken in that day. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't a mealy-mouthed preacher. He didn't play to the crowd. He didn't cut the cloth of the sermon to suit the crowd. No, he denounced their sin and he denounced the Pharisees and the hypocrites and he said even the very harlots and the publicans would enter into the kingdom before them. Remember another occasion, they condemned the Lord Jesus because he was eating with publicans and sinners. It's an interesting book, this, you know. His name was Pure. He was a publican. But he was polluted. He was polluted. You notice what it says here. It says in verse 7 that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. That's how he was seen, friend. And that's how he was. He was a sinner. And then whenever the scripture sums it all up in verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's a man that has sinned against God. He's a sinner. He's a man that's lost. Now, friend, tell me, what do you think lost means? If you mislay something, you mislay a ring or a key, and you're running around and you're saying, "Listen, would you help me? Because my key's lost." But lost here doesn't mean mislaid, that you can't find it. It means no use. It's like a broken watch, friend. A broken watch, you can lay it aside. You know where it is, but it's no use to you. It's lost its value to you. And sinner, let me tell you, you are no use to God in your sin. You're lost. You're no use to God. You cannot serve the Lord in your sin. And this man was a sinner. Lost sinner. And so is everyone in this service tonight that's without the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, his name was Pure. Aye, and he had plenty. He was a publican, but he was polluted. That's the circumstances. The circumstances. Notice secondly, his contact. Go to verse 4. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way." Now the Lord Jesus Christ was passing that specific way, friend. And the Lord Jesus, as I said a moment ago, he was on his way to the cross. It was the Savior's last visit to that neighborhood. Never again would Jesus Christ pass that way. He's going to die. And somehow Zacchaeus had heard of the visitation, because the Bible says that Zacchaeus ran, he sought to see Jesus, and he ran and he climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. Somebody told him that Jesus was passing that way. That's why he was there. Maybe there's someone in the service tonight. Somebody has invited you. That's why you're here. Somebody has told you, friend. Somebody told you about this gospel meeting. Somebody told Zacchaeus that Jesus was passing that way. But listen, Zacchaeus didn't know it was the last time. And neither do you. You know, the Lord Jesus may be passing this way, my friend, for the last time for you. I heard the other night up at the home in Cookstown of the wee family down in Londonderry. And the family were going on their holidays, friend. But they realized that when they were on the journey going to the airport, they realized that they'd forgotten the passport. They knew there would be no holiday without the passport, and so therefore they turned the vehicle. You see, friend, let me tell you, I've been there, I've known this, and you've forgotten something. Listen, and time's running out. And you're fighting time, friend. And you make your way back, you make your way back to get the passport, friend. Let me tell you, they thought the time for the plane was running out. But what they didn't know, the time for the child was running out.
See? We don't know these things.
And maybe there's someone listening to my voice tonight in the service, and the last thought that's in your mind is that this is the last time, the last opportunity that God is giving you to hear the gospel, to hear your need of God's salvation, friend.
You could be sitting in your last gospel service. You don't know it. Listen. The plane went on. But the family never made it. Three young men were traveling the other night down the road, friend. And they said they can't understand it. Because it was a straight part of the road. Three young lives. Three young men. Just like that. Into eternity. And I hear some young person saying to me, "But preacher, that's not me." Why not, friend? You better than somebody else? You think you're a better driver? Don't be a fool. And Jesus was passing that way for the last time. Zacchaeus didn't know it, but he would never, ever, ever come that way again. And you hear a man that he has got all that money can buy, all the pleasures, all the comforts that are enjoyed by those that have wealth. And yet, friends, here we see him, and where is he? He's sitting up a tree. Tell me, what would make a man do that? What would make a man that has got everything? He was rich. What would make him sit up a tree and look like a fool? And he was empty. He was empty within. He was lonely in heart.
But somehow, some way, in the sovereign working of a sovereign God, friend, listen. God placed in his heart a desire. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. The Bible says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Is there a desire in your heart tonight to know Jesus? But notice, whilst this man sought to see Jesus and he had a desire in his heart, let me tell you, the devil will try to blockade your way. And he did. And the devil put two blockades in this man's way. Listen, one was within others and one was within himself. He had two blockades. One was the crowd and one was his stature. There's nothing new under the sun, friend. Let me tell you, the devil will still use the crowd to try and stop you from coming to Jesus. The crowd will try to block your view to Christ. The devil doesn't want you, and the devil's crowd doesn't want you to be seen. And the world will laugh at you. The world will mock many a young man or a young woman or older person that comes to a gospel meeting, and might they call you a fool. And they don't want you through a gospel preaching door. Why? Because the devil wants the crowd to block your way to Christ. And they did. But he had another problem. He was small. He had a pair of short legs. Natural fact, friend, that reminds us. Listen, you know what his second problem was? His own shortcomings. And that's exactly what the devil uses to stop many a man coming to Christ. Because the devil, friend, will point out to you your shortcomings, in other words, your sins. You're too sinful to come to God. You're too vile. You're too unrighteous. You're too unholy to come to God. And the
devil will try to blockade not only with the crowd. He'll try you to look inside and you'll see the sinfulness of your heart. The devil will say, you couldn't come to God. You couldn't come to Christ. He wouldn't want the likes of you. Look what you did last week. Look at the sin of your life. Look at the mess of your life. How could you come to Jesus? Let me tell you, Zacchaeus was a little man determined to make money. But praise God, there's now another determination. He's determined to see Jesus. And he persevered in his attempt to see Christ because in his heart there was an anxiety lest he miss Jesus. Does that bother you? You might miss the Lord. Does that bother you, friend? That you could miss salvation? That you could see your destiny, that you could live for years, but see your destiny for hell and for despair? That you could sin away your day of grace, that you could despise the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ and cast aside the wooing and the winning of the Spirit of God, and you could say no to Christ and the blessed Spirit of God for a final time? Does that bother you? This wee man didn't want to miss Jesus. Oh, that had to be a work of God, didn't it? And thank God, friend, he was so determined that he was resourceful because the Bible says he ran. Listen, can you imagine a wealthy man like Zacchaeus in those days, a man of position, and yet there he's running. And then he climbs up a tree. That's not very dignified. Why would he do it, friend? I'll tell you why. Because somebody told him Jesus was passing that way. And the Spirit of God stirred a deep longing in his soul to see Jesus. You know, my prayer is that as you listen to me tonight, let me tell you, friend, even in spite of yourself, that the Holy Ghost will stir your soul like you've never been stirred before. The Spirit of God will take the sleep from off your eyes, and the Spirit of God will take the scales from off your eyes and let you see your heart as God sees it. Thank God, here's a man, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the right place, and he looks up. And he saw him. Verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw. He saw him through and through. He saw his need. There's nothing hid from the eyes of Christ. He saw his sin. But thirdly, quickly, friend, notice not only his circumstances, notice not only his contact, notice his call. Because the Bible says in verse 5 that when Jesus saw him, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thine house. I must abide in thine house. Now, friend, let me tell you, there's actual fact, there's a powerful message there. Listen, Christ didn't leave him in his sorry state. Christ didn't leave him in his sin. Men had rejected him. Men despised him. But Christ saw his emptiness. Christ saw his heart. Christ saw his need. Christ saw his sin. And only Christ could meet his need. And he said, in other words, that's his call. He said unto him. He said unto him. Listen, you see, when Christ called, let me say this, he called him personally. I'll give you the outlines, you can go and preach it sometime. He called him personally. He said, Zacchaeus. Let me tell you, he didn't call him in the crowd. He called him personally. Let me tell you, we're not saved in crowds, friend. Man's not saved in crowds or saved in family. You're saved personally. You've got to come personally to Jesus. And he called them not only personally, he called them pressingly. Because he said, Zacchaeus, make haste! He sought to press him into the kingdom. There's an urgency about the need of a soul. There's an urgency about a situation and about a sin. And the Lord called them personally and he called them pressingly. Aye, and he called them pointedly. He said, Zacchaeus, listen. Make haste and come down. Come down. Come down to my feet. And if Zacchaeus was going to be saved, friends, let me tell you, he had to humble himself. He had to get out of the tree of his pride. And if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get out of the tree of your pride. Let me tell you, the sinner struts on his way to hell, friend. Let me tell you, being honest, he's so cocksure of himself. And he struts along the stage of time as if there wasn't a God in heaven and as if he didn't care whether God would stop him down the road, because nobody has the power to stop me. I'm boss. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you've got to come down. He called him pointedly. Leave the tree, Zacchaeus. Leave where you are! And let me tell you, my friend, you cannot be saved and hold on to your sin. You've got to leave your sin behind. He called him pointedly. He called him promptly. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today, not tomorrow, salvation today, Zacchaeus. Oh, men and women, let me tell you, the devil steals the opportunity for men and women to be saved. And he tells you, tomorrow, some other day, some other meeting, some other service, some other time, some other circumstance, some other opportunity. You never read that in the Word of God. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day. You say to me, preacher, when can I be sure that I'll be saved? I'll tell you, only today. Only today can you be sure. The Word of God goes on to say, today, if you hear His voice. Harden not your heart. If God's speaking to you today, friend, don't let the devil harden your heart. Don't play the fool with your soul. He called him promptly. Thank God he called him prevailingly. For he said, today I must abide at thine house. Thank God he called him permanently, for he said, I must abide. I want to come to stay, Zacchaeus. I want to abide. I want to abide. The Savior didn't care what others thought. He made himself of no reputation, the Bible says. They said, verse 7, listen, they murmured, he's gone to be a guest with a man which is a sinner. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus didn't care. For when he left heaven's glory, he left to identify with you and me, the sinner. And he come to bear our sins upon his own body on the tree. And I'm so glad he did. He called, or his call. Notice his coming. Verse 6. And Zacchaeus made haste. And he came down and received him joyfully. Listen, do you notice? He was ready to come. He was ready to come. Zacchaeus made haste, came down. He was ready to come. His heart had been prepared. God had been preparing his heart. Listen, from the moment that somebody told them that Jesus was passing that way, God was preparing his heart. And from that moment, the Holy Spirit planted within his heart a desire to see Jesus. And thank God the Spirit brought him right to Jesus. Because he made haste and he came down. And notice what it says. And he received him joyfully. When Jesus came into my heart, oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And that's my last thought. Notice the change. And Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Let me tell you two things here. Listen, up to that moment, he was a taker. He was on the take. He was a man that was out for the take. Yes, for the taxes, but for himself. He was rich. He was a taker. See, when the Lord saved him, he became a giver. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. His heart was changed. You see that? His heart was changed. You see, when a man's heart's changed, friend, when a man is melted by the blessed Holy Spirit of God, when God takes the control of a man's life, he begins. Instead of a taker, he becomes a giver. Why? Because he's changed. And if a man's not changed, let me tell you, he's not saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The change. You know, he refused to do what the rich man was asked to do. This man doesn't have to wait until Jesus asks him to do this, friend. Let me tell you, he has got a changed heart. The Lord Jesus said to the rich man, the rich young ruler, he saw that money was his God, and he said, listen, sell all you have and give to the poor. The Bible says the young man went away. He went away sorrowfully because he had great possessions. Do you notice the Lord didn't have to say anything to Zacchaeus? His heart was changed. Changed. And he had the mind of Christ. And he said, Behold, look, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And then the last thing, listen. And then he made restitution. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Restitution. To those he cheated. To those he stole from. He restored. You don't often hear it anymore. You don't often hear of repentance anymore. And you don't often hear of restitution anymore. But friend, his heart had got right with the Lord.
Now there are things he's got to get right with his fellow man. Restitution. He was truly saved. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, This day, instantaneously and eternally saved, this day is salvation come to thine house. He was saved. His circumstances, his contact, yes, his call, his coming, his change. Jesus was passing through Jericho. Oh, what a tragedy. Had he missed the Lord? Friend, that's the greatest tragedy of all. Jesus is passing this way. What a tragedy you miss him. Hymn writer said, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. For while on others thou art calling, please, Lord, don't pass me by. Call out tonight. Thank God he's saved.